Oh my goodness, y'all. Before we even jump into the episode today, I am so excited to tell you that my course, Authentically Aligned, has officially launched. We launched on Monday this week. It's honestly why this podcast is coming to you a little bit late in the week. We launched. The first week of content is already up on my website, chloetaylor.com. And of course, there'll be a link down below for you. This course, y'all, it is a 4-week program that leads you to basically becoming your most authentic self and getting into alignment with your life purpose, your mission, and helping you to really tap back into yourself. That was the premise behind why I decided to create it. Basically, I got so many requests and so many DMs being like, Chloe, can you please open one-on-one coaching? Can you please make it to where we can call you up on the phone? Can you please just like be in my pocket reminding me things while I am out and like trying to be my authentic self while I'm socializing? And I basically answered that call and I was like, you know what? I'm going to create a program for this. I am going to make something that is more accessible to everyone instead of just, because you know, if I got on the phone with every single person that asked me that, girl, I wouldn't even be able to sleep. I wouldn't have any time. So I went ahead and I decided to design a 4-week program that walks you through everything that I have integrated into my life over the last 10 years that I really believe led me to becoming my authentic self, and where I always kind of return to if I ever feel like I'm veering off of that in any sort of way. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to join in, be part of the 4-week program, I would love to have you as a student, and you can check that out at the link down below. Now let's go ahead and get into the podcast.
You are divine.
Hello, 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 my beautiful authentic seekers, and welcome back to Divine Authenticity. I'm your host, Chloe Taylor, and today we are going to be talking all things hot and healed girl summer. And I love this because I'm seeing a lot of hot girl summer energy out there. I listen to a lot of podcasts myself that talk about this, but I'm not getting like hot and healed girl summer. I'm getting healed girl summer and hot girl summer, but never the two of them together. And I was like, you know what? It's going to be me. It's going to be me that's going to cover that topic, because I feel like, yes, we're pretty far into summer at this point. We're like literally a month in, but I feel like it's been kind of slow to rise for me. Y'all know I live in the Pacific Northwest. If we had a dime for every time Chloe reminded you of this, you would all be rich. But I feel like here, especially because I live at the beach, it's just, I'm not used to summer like this, and I love it, but I'm not used to summer being 70 degrees for a month. I'm used to it being like, I don't know, frigid, because I was in Utah for 12 years. And prior to that, I was in California, Southern California, for 18 years. So I lived the bulk of my life up to this point in the desert. And I was used to like the cold, cold desert nights, but then like hot, 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 extreme 100+ degree weather summers. And moving to the Pacific Northwest, it's just a dramatic departure. So it's been like really nice. Like, y'all, I want to say it was last week, we had this really like rainy, foggy day in the middle of July. There was just this like rainy, foggy day. And I was like, bitch, I need to get all my fall candles out. It's time. Like, fall in July is here, and I am just gonna live my like spooky coastal life. And for like a day, because then the next day it was sunny again. But for like a day, I lit all my candles. I watched the rain. I read spooky little books. I watched I Know What You Did Last Summer, which I had never seen before, and I loved it. It's like a classic now for me. I also watched Coraline, which is another one of my like spooky-ish movies that I like to watch when it is more fall time. We're gonna do a little catch up before we get into the healed and hot girl stuff. But like, it just was so nice. And I loved having that like random one-off day. Actually, today, the day that this is being recorded, which is the same day it's gonna get released, Today is the first real warm day of the summer. It's 80, I think the high for today was like 85 or something, which is not bad. Considering though, I mean, for people that have lived here their whole lives, I feel like 85 is like torture. I heard so many people while I was out at the co-op today say like, oh, it's just so hot. It's so hot. And I respect that, you know, if you've lived here your whole life, you would think that is really hot. But as a desert girly growing up, this is nothing. I'm like, oh, it's so nice. As long as I'm in the shade, I'm happy. So don't get me wrong, like being out in full sun, 85 degrees, I do not think is comfortable. But I feel like in the shade, it's actually like a really nice day today. So all of that to be said is that like, I feel like summer was slow to rise for me because we had just like basically a 70 degree month. And I want to say some of the days in June, like late June when it started, some of the days were even down in the like 60s. Like we were having like even like cold, like, I don't know, 60, 61, 62, 63 Fahrenheit, that is. For any of y'all listening where you don't do Fahrenheit, that might be a little confusing, but in any case, I feel like summer just hasn't really felt like summer to me this year. And last year, even though I lived in the Pacific Northwest, I feel like the location I was living, especially because I didn't live like literally on the water, it's different here. It's cooler. It's cooler when you have the ocean breeze. So I also feel like summer was hotter last year just in general. So I just haven't felt like I've been ready for hot girl summer because it hasn't felt like summer. But I feel like now we're getting into it. Today was the warmest day, like I said, of the summer. And so I feel like it's time. It's time for healed hot girl summer. So first and foremost, like I said, we're going to do a little catch up. I feel like even though we had an episode not Monday this week, but Monday the week before, I think I pre-recorded that episode a little bit. So I feel like I just haven't done a podcast in a minute. And I feel like I just have like a lot of little weird things to catch y'all up on, what I've been up to, what I've been thinking, what I've been liking. And the first thing that I actually feel like this ties in nicely to Hot Girl Summer for me personally, but your girl cut out coffee again. I cut out coffee again. I stopped drinking it. I was having a lot of like, y'all knew that I was girl bossing too close to the sun recently. We've talked about this. I've been having a lot of like work anxiety. And I realized that when I was feeling really anxious, it would be because I felt like I wasn't being productive enough. And so I would reach for coffee as like a thing to basically boost my energy and boost my energy so that I could get more work done. But the problem with that is I'm also an ADHD girly and the executive dysfunction is real. So if you don't know what executive dysfunction is, it's basically where like you have tasks that you know you need to get done. And you know that once you do them, you will feel better. But it's like you just can't. Like, I don't even know how else to explain it. Executive dysfunction is such a wild beast that like you literally just can't. You're in like paralysis and you just can't. Like the stress of not doing it is so debilitating that it's almost like you feel like you have to deal with that first, but then you feel like you don't have time to deal with that first. You need to just do the thing first, but then you can't do the thing first because you're so like stressed out about why you're not doing the thing. So I was dealing with like a lot of that and I kept drinking like 3-4 cups of coffee. Like, come on, Chloe, just get the energy. You can do it. I've always been like one of those people that's been a high achiever, which surprising no one, that's a trauma response. I've always been like a really high achiever. And so it's been this like really weird whirlwind of like, well, why can't you just do the thing, Chloe? You know that you can do the thing. If you just do the thing, you'll feel better. And as I was drinking all this coffee, trying to motivate myself, which is a terrible way to motivate yourself, by the way, for me, I will speak for myself and my own body, I realized that the coffee was making the anxiety so much worse. And I have been through phases of my life where I have not lived with anxiety at all. And I've talked about it on the podcast. So like, I know that it's possible to live anxiety free because I've done it, but it was just getting to a point where it was so out of control that the coffee was just exacerbating it. And I would just like, there was no time except for when I was sleeping that I felt okay. So literally in one swift motion, I was like, nope, we're going on a detox again. I cannot be doing this. I love coffee. I love the smell of it. I love the taste of it. I don't love what it does to my body and my mental health. So I swapped back to matcha. Remember last time, if you were here, when I cut out coffee and I went to be a matcha girly, it was easy. I felt like I had no withdrawal symptoms. Everybody was like asking me, y'all even DM'd me and were like, hey, how is that detox going? Are you okay? And I was like, I don't even know what anybody's talking about. Like, I feel fine. I had the worst withdrawal symptoms that I've ever had from detoxing from coffee this time. And I don't know if it's just because I was over consuming at that point, but I felt like for about 4 days, I was just tired, low energy. Could even with matcha, like, which does have a little bit of caffeine in it, it was not enough to make that process easier. So I just stuck with it though. I continued to not drink it even on the days that I really wanted to. And now I think it's been over a week. I've just been drinking 1 to 2 cups of matcha a day. And the cool thing about matcha is like, if you like it, I respect that it's not everybody's cup of tea, literally. But I feel like the cool thing about matcha is it also goes through the body differently. It's not absorbed by the body the same way that coffee is. And so even the caffeine that you get from matcha, it's not just like a zap to your system. It's a slow burn and a gentle decline. So coffee, I feel like I can smell coffee and I get like an energy high, which is great. It means I don't have to drink it. But coffee is just kind of like this blast to your system, and then it's a dramatic drop off. So I feel like the matcha also just is very like a lot more gentle, and I enjoy the taste of it. So it's been a good time, and I like making it iced. Thankfully, this house that I am renting has an ice maker, which I don't know how I just will never live without an ice maker ever again. I don't know how I went my entire adult life living and having to do ice cube trays. Like, having an ice maker is so supreme. If there's ever a point in time where I move somewhere that doesn't have one, I'm going to buy like a standalone because I don't know how I lived without an ice maker all of my adult life. And now that I have one, I'm just like, wow, this is so awesome, especially as it gets warmer outside. So back on my matcha girly bullshit, I'm living for it. I haven't been drinking the Peak Matcha, which y'all know is one of my favorites, mainly because it is just so expensive. And I hate that word. I hate the word expensive. I try not to say it, but I do feel like for what it is, it's not like it's good. It's high quality, good matcha, but it's the ordering. It's the fact that I can't just go to the store and pick it up. I think that irritates me the most, that I have to purchase it online. And when I decided to detox from coffee, I was like, nope, I got to get something for this today. So that was part of it. And I've actually found some really good matchas just local to me. So I was like, you know what? Maybe we're just going to take a break from Peak Matcha and just keep trying the local stuff. So good, 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 good. The second thing I wanted to update you on, this is so random, but somebody out there I know is going to appreciate this content. I've been really into my teeth lately. Nothing about this podcast is sponsored. Like, there's ads that play on it because I have the capability to add those in. And of course, I talked about my course in the beginning, which is my own personal ad for my own product. But like, none of the products I'm talking about, these are not ad placements. I wish these companies would pay me to talk about them. But I just wanted to put that in the beginning, that I'm not paid to talk about this. But teeth hygiene, okay. I need to tell you something really gross. I need to tell you a secret, and you have to promise not to tell. But I didn't start brushing my teeth routinely until I was in my late 20s, like 27, 28, 29, 30, in there. I didn't start brushing my teeth every single day until I was in my late 20s. And I know that's fucking disgusting, okay? I know that that's gross. I know that I'm a nasty little hobbit. But hear me out, okay? Hear me out. Number one, part of my late 20s, I was extremely depressed going through my Saturn return. we already know that when our mental health is not good, one of the first things that goes out the window is hygiene. So I think that's definitely played roles throughout my life. Like, my hygiene will go out the window first when my mental health isn't good. But how did I go so long in my adult life without, like, making that a consistent habit every single morning when I wake up? And the thing I'm going to say to that is, number one, it was never prioritized in my house. My parents were very neglectful. Both of them worked. And I did not have structure growing up, like, at all. I didn't have a, hey, go to bed. Hey, brush your teeth. Hey, dinner's ready. I had literally no structure and 100% freedom. Thankfully, I was a really anxious being, and so I didn't, like, get into a bunch of trouble or go out partying or do anything where I was putting myself in danger. But I was a homebody hermit. I was always home, and I was the kid that my parents would always say that I was easy because I followed all of the quote-unquote rules. I was super religious. I never got in trouble. And the unfortunate thing about that is no child is easy. Nobody should ever be told that. And I had to learn that later in life in therapy. And my parents, honestly, I was easy, so maybe they didn't think I needed structure. I honestly think it was just neglect on their part. I think when I think about being a parent now, if I were to become one, that child would absolutely have structure. Not structure that would be so extreme and strict that they would have no time for play or anything, but just making sure that, like, their hygiene is being taken care of, you know? Like, there was a time period in my childhood, y'all. I'm sorry, this is getting dark, but I just need you to understand why I have not had a habit of brushing my teeth. There was a point in my childhood, y'all, where my hair got so knotted up because of the lack of it being brushed or having any structure, neglect, that we cut, like, a huge knot out of my hair, and I had bangs in the back of my head for, I don't even know how long it took to grow that back out. Like, and the sad part is my family thought this was, like, a really funny thing, and even when I got married, one of my sisters kept this, like, huge knot of hair and gave it to me as a bridal shower gift. And I didn't really think anything of it then. I thought it was just stupid. But now that I've learned more and more and more about child psychology, and that oftentimes when children have hair on that level that gets so matted, that is a huge sign of abuse and neglect. And in all honesty, there's no reason my hair should have been that way. Like, yeah, I was old enough to care for myself to a degree. I think I was, like, maybe 10 or 11 years old. But, like, I feel like that falls on parental intervention when you have to literally cut, like, mats out of your hair. So, anyways, I'm sorry. This got dark really fast. I was not anticipating sharing all of that. But my point is, no structure was ever given to me. Teeth brushing was never, like, I always had a toothbrush and toothpaste available to me. It wasn't like I didn't have the tools. There was just zero emphasis of, this is what you do now. I don't ever remember as a kid being taught how to brush my teeth properly. It was just kind of always assumed that I would learn or I would know. And that was kind of a lot of things in my childhood, to be honest. So I just never had this habit. And as an adult, I don't feel like I ever prioritized it. I would try, like, I would buy myself a toothbrush and I would be like, okay, every day we're just going to make this a thing. And honestly, it was more forgetfulness than anything. It wasn't like, oh, I don't want to do this. It was like, I just wouldn't think about it. And anyways, so my teeth hygiene has become very important to me. And the number one, I love my Waterpik. I don't know how any of y'all are out here still flossing. Waterpik is it. They make them where they're, like, portable now too. They don't have to be on, like, a cord. Mine's corded, unfortunately. I would love to have one that's portable that I could just charge. But It's literally like a stream of water that flosses your teeth instead of having to get a string up in there. And honestly, it makes flossing your teeth a breeze. I don't know how everybody's not doing it, to be honest. So I've been doing that. And I also, my husband and I invested in new toothbrushes that Costco was having like a super sale. And we picked up this Sonic electric toothbrush. It was a set of two. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think they're the cheapest toothbrush on the market. They were not the like, there's one toothbrush that it's by Philips. The brand is Philips, but Philips sells a toothbrush that's like $400. It's not that toothbrush. I want to say it was like 100 something though, but for two of them, it was like the price of one. So we picked them up and y'all, we are living in the future, okay? We are living in the future. How is it that we have gotten to a place where things are so customizable with technology now that this toothbrush, it has a bunch of different heads that you can buy, and each of them, like the toothbrush knows when you plug a certain head into it, what it is supposed to do, like how it's supposed to vibrate, how long it's supposed to do that for. It has customized brushing routines based off of what head you put into it. And like you, me and my husband both have our own handles, but like you actually could share a toothbrush with your partner and just buy the heads, like meaning your partner could have one and you could have one and you just interchange them. So like you'd be sharing a toothbrush, but the part that goes in your mouth, you wouldn't be sharing. So it's just like very cool. And it's, I want to say it's like a 3 minute brush now instead of two, but it's like, it basically guides you to brush the four quadrants. So like top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right. And then it has gum care that goes for an extra minute. And it also like buzzes at intervals. So you go to the different quadrants of your gums. And my teeth have never felt more clean in my whole life. Now that I have used this magical toothbrush, I feel like I don't even know what I was doing before. I'm like, how is this so different? Why does my mouth feel so awesome? So we love that. I just feel like I didn't know how good oral hygiene care could be. So, and I'm proud of myself that it's actually, I've been doing it so consistently for so many mornings at this point that I feel like it's an actual habit. It's ingrained. Like when I wake up now, I can't imagine not brushing my teeth. That like feels gross to me. Like it just, I don't know. I feel like somebody out there probably needed to hear that, needed to like maybe de-shame themselves a little bit. I know I call myself a nasty little hobbit, but I don't think if you don't brush your teeth that you're a nasty little hobbit. Like maybe like me, you never had that instilled in your life. Maybe you were super neglected and it's not that you don't want to do it. It's that maybe you feel depressed or maybe it was just never a habit. So just don't be so hard on yourself if you're somebody that's never been into oral hygiene. But the cool thing is that you can decide to start today. And that's just something that I've been really into. I will link my toothbrush down below if anybody's curious. I don't think it'll be affiliate linked or anything because I don't have an affiliate with them. But in any case, it's just been wonderful and it's great. The next thing that Chloe Taylor has been absolutely loving that I wanted to talk about is it was like 2 or 3 days ago, I put on, and y'all have seen it, it's this like red oversized crew neck sweatshirt. I wear it all the time. It's been in, actually, I don't know if it's been in a lot of photos, but you always see it on me in my stories. I always have this crew neck sweater on, and it's because it's comfortable and it's oversized and it's my favorite like loungewear piece that I own. And recently I put it on after it came out of the dryer, and I noticed that not one stitch on this sweater had popped, and that the color, it's like a hot red. The color hasn't really deteriorated. And I wear this thing literally 4 times a week. It gets washed twice a week sometimes because I wear it so much. It's literally my favorite sweater. And I was like, wow, this is just like a really nice piece of clothing. I should buy like another one of these. And it's from Aritzia, which Aritzia, once again, I feel like the price tags there are steep And this is the red sweater that I own is the first one I'd ever bought. And I bought it on a huge sale in February after the holiday season. And it was a big deal to me at the time. I was like, you know, I don't usually spend money on clothes like this. And I want something that's going to last and like be high quality. So decided to go for it. And yeah, 6 months later, I realized that, wow, this is what it feels like to own a piece of clothing that isn't going to fall apart after one season. So I went onto Aritzia's website and they were also having a huge summer sale. And I managed to snag one of their, it's like the boyfriend cozy fleece hoodie. I managed to snag one in this really pretty fuchsia color that zips up. And I have been living and lounging in this thing. And I just feel like I'm never going to buy loungewear from anywhere else, ever. Aritzia is it. If you can afford to just like buy yourself a nice little staple, I would encourage going there. The quality of their clothes are just like nothing else I've ever experienced. Speaking of clothes, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is bodysuits. Can we just talk about for a second how much I love the fashion right now? I love how we're doing like shorts and then we're doing like, because like the bodysuit that people love, often the ones I've seen have been like full leg, like pants. So, because it's not quite a romper, because it's more like skin tight. And you could call it a romper, but to me, it's more of a bodysuit because it's more conformed to the body. It's more formed to the body, but it's the same idea as a romper. It's not pants and a shirt. It's one connected thing. And yes, when you go to the bathroom, you're literally going to be naked in the stall and it's going to be you and your choices if you have to pee. But I just feel like I love these bodysuits, and I love how people are styling them right now. I love the casual nature of just like the shorts with the tank top bodysuits with just a hoodie and then like walking sneakers. I love that aesthetic. But I also love how people are wearing these bodysuits with like blazers and dressing them up with some like cute flats or cute heels. I feel like it's like day to night, or like active wear to going out wear. And I am here for it. So I actually picked up a couple of bodysuits. These ones I got at Torrid. They're on sale right now, which is why I was like, yes, snag please. The other thing I'm really loving about them is, number one, it's like an outfit. So I can just wake up and be like, oh, bra, underwear, bodysuit. There's no, I have to mix and match anything. It's an outfit in one. And the other thing is there's no seam across the stomach. So like, you know how when you wear pants or a skirt or like sweatpants, there's a waist to it. There's something that's always sitting at your stomach somewhere. The bodysuit, your stomach is just free. It's like wearing an empire-waisted dress or empire, like empire waist is where the basically where the dress flares is like right under the breasts and then just like straight down. That's like, I don't know, like I just love the feeling of my stomach not having any kind of seam or waistline, or like honestly even trying to like hide my tummy. I have a tummy, okay? I have a tummy and there is nothing wrong with tummy. Tummy is cute. Like honestly, my husband tells me that all the time. He's like, tummy's cute. I don't know what girls are out here doing trying to camouflage that. Tummies are so cute. And honestly, catch me out here thinking I'm the hottest thing in the world with like barbecue stains on my clothes while I'm out because my man is just always talking me up. But I love that like this bodysuit isn't so tight that I feel like it's like conformed around my stomach. I feel like my stomach is loose and free, but this outfit doesn't feel like it's not like too tight or too loose, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And I'll link it down below for you if you want to like have a look at it. But super cute, super comfortable. I literally bought two when I bought them because I was like, I already know I'm going to be living in this all summer long. And I'm pretty sure they do make full body ones too that go down the legs. I'll let you know if we get any of those as we approach fall. And last but certainly not least, before we get into the heeled and hot girl vibes, is Sex and the City. Sex and the City, the two movies and the continuation show, which is called And Just Like That. Recently, I started watching Sex and the City again for, like, I don't know, the fifth time. I watched all of the original series, which I think is like 6 seasons long. Then I watched the 2 movies, and I just finished the first season of the continuation, and now I'm on to the new season that just came out. Don't worry if you watch those shows. I'm not going to spoil anything about the newer seasons. I just wanted to say that, like, it has been a fun vibe to be in for the summer. It has been just like every time I have a spare moment on my hands, I'm watching this show. And it's just like, it's just the perfect amount of funny. Like, yes, don't get me wrong, it is not with the times. The newer show is, but the show's like original and the movies, they make jokes all the time. They say things all the time that just like for the time that those were made, it makes sense. But some of the things did not age well. Like, I would not say that the show has aged well 100% of the time. But it's just like a fun, it's just fun. It's a fun show to watch. And I've been really just loving it. I feel like it's been a good, it's been just like something that I have just purely enjoyed. Something that I've just wanted to indulge myself in. And if you haven't seen the new series and you liked the original, or maybe you've never watched it, all of it's available on HBO Max, by the way. They have the new show, the movies, and the original. But if you haven't seen it, I would highly encourage you to give it a watch. Even if you have seen it, the rewatch is just as good. The rewatch is so fun. But there is one thing I want to say for anybody else who watches this show. Big is like the worst character ever. We can all agree on that, right? Big from Sex and the City. I honestly think Carrie is also the worst. Like, when people tell me that they identify as a Carrie in Sex and the City, I identify as either a Samantha or a Charlotte. I'm like a crossover of them. But I feel like when people tell me they're a Carrie, you just told me everything about yourself and I do not want to be friends. Like, Carrie's character is literally the worst character and the show is mainly focused on her, I feel like. She is literally the worst. She makes the worst decisions. Like, I understand she is like a young woman still figuring things out, but gosh, like talking about the original show, even when it comes to like her involvement with Aiden. Aiden was so good for her. I'm team Aiden all the way. I am team Aiden. I think he was her best match. I honestly don't really think she deserved him because she sucked. But I mean, I guess you could say like Big and Carrie, maybe they deserved each other because they both were just like trash characters. But it's the lack of emotional availability for me and the lack of emotional intelligence for me. And they just were the worst. They just communicated so horribly. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say on that. I feel like most people know it. I've never met another person that has seen Sex and the City and is like, oh no, Big was my favorite. He was so great. Carrie and Big were the best. I've never met another human being. Everybody's always like, oh no, they were a dumpster fire. Like, what were they even doing? Anyways, that's all we have for the little updates. Let's go ahead and we're going to start with talking about having a healed girl summer. All right, so healed girl summer, what does that look like? Number one, I have to bring it up. I know y'all are probably sick of hearing about it, but journaling is it. Journaling is it. Journaling is it. And I have noticed any time that I have had a practice of journaling, the thing is, you can't just journal and expect that your life is going to get better. You really have to ask yourself the right questions, have the right prompts. And honestly, like, shameless self-promo, if you enroll in my course, I give you access to all of that. Like, there is in just section one alone of my course in module one, there is a 20 plus page workbook that helps you to get amazing journaling prompts. Because if you are not asking yourself the right questions, you're never going to dive that deeply in. So if you're just like writing every day, like, I ate a piece of cake and I played with my dog, like, don't get me wrong, that's really sweet. And it's a sweet thing to reflect on later. I'm not trying to say that you should never write about those things. But if you're trying to use your journal to actually work on healing and have your own journey, you have to be willing to dive in a little bit deeper with yourself. And I honestly think that having a practice of journaling, the times in my life that it has worked the best for me were when I was doing the Artist's Way. The Artist's Way just honestly opened my eyes to so much. And I talk about the Artist's Way all the time. It's a book that you can get that leads you through a program as well. And it basically has you write 3 pages in your journal every single morning, like every single day, every single morning, 3 pages minimum. And I saw a lot of really positive results with that, but you are filling so many journals when you write like that. And sometimes, frankly, it's infuriating and you don't want to do it. I think that's actually part of it, though, is like you have to go through the parts where you feel infuriated and you don't want to write in order to get to like, oh, I can't imagine my life not doing this. But I feel like having a journaling practice, it's like the most cost-effective, shall we say, way of basically getting like free therapy. And obviously it's not a stand-in for therapy, but it is a way that you can actually dive into what is really on your mind in a way that will support your growth, that will support you as a person, that will support you coming home to yourself again. And it's obviously, I feel like some people also write though, like somebody's going to read their journal someday. That was actually something that my mother tried to condition into me. And I was like, you're bananas. No, I don't write like other people are ever going to see this. In fact, the day that I die, I've already told my spouse, I'm like, you need to burn all of these with me. Nobody gets to read these. And it's not because they're full of shade on other people, but I don't write like somebody else is ever going to read the things that I said, because I do so much emotional labor in my journal that nobody else is supposed to see those. They're not a record of history for somebody else. They're a record of my own history for myself to see my own growth in this lifetime. And I feel like when you make that switch when it comes to journaling as well, if you're somebody that's always journaled like it's going to be read about you versus you're writing this for yourself right now, it changes things and you can actually start to really get into the deeper work and maybe writing things that scare you, writing things that you're like, oh my gosh, why is my mind even coming up with that? It's shedding light on it is how you get rid of the shame. And that's why I feel like journaling is such like a healthy practice. But I also recognize that journaling is kind of like meditating, where like every single person that works on healing themselves tells you, you need to have a journaling practice and a meditation practice or you're not doing it right. I think the only reason that those are so pushed is because they are the most accessible. And unfortunately, we live in a time and space and place where therapy isn't free and not everybody has access to it. And I feel like it is, those are more accessible tools, but frankly, they aren't for everyone. Some people hate to meditate. That's me. I'm bitches. I hate meditating. And some people hate journaling. I think in that case, it's always about finding what works for you the best. But I think that journaling, if you haven't tried it as a consistent practice, that's one way that you can really dive in this summer and work on that healed self, right? Because when I say healed girl, I feel like we also need to recognize that there's never going to come a time in your life where you're just going to be 100% healed. Because even though you can and you will overcome things in your life that you thought you never would, you're going to be met with new challenges throughout your life. That is part of the human experience. And like, honestly, if you got to this place where you were healed from everything and you were just going to coast in life, that doesn't exist. There is no coasting in life. There is always going to be new problems, new things that get introduced into the arena. So it's better if instead you build up your resiliency, you build up your ability to have a strong rebound rate, you build up yourself so much to trust yourself and have the confidence that no matter what comes your way, you'll be able to handle it. And if you don't know how to handle it, you will do what you can to find the answers so that you can handle it. That's ultimately it. That's what it means when we talk about being healed or having a healed girl summer. It's having the confidence and the self-trust to know that no matter what gets thrown your way, you're going to be able to handle it or figure it out. So That's why I ask, or why I mention journaling, though, is I think it is more of an accessible tool. Now, something else, and I feel like this one might throw some of y'all for a loop in having a healed girl summer. It doesn't have to be a lot of work. This is something that I really wanted to talk about in this episode because I feel like it's something that I don't hear anybody else speaking on. And this was a place that I got really trapped for a while. And I see how thinking that it was going to take all of this work to get over something, to move on, to heal myself, I would freak out over the seeing the staircase versus just taking one step at a time. And the thing is, sometimes, not always, please do not think that I am saying this is an always, because there are things that you are going to have to seek extra help. There are things, there are traumas, there are things that you have experienced that you will need to take the long way. And I respect that. And I've been that person myself. So I'm never going to tell you not to. However, sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's literally a decision that you're not going to allow this thing to infiltrate your mind anymore. And you're going to make decisions that negate that push that out of your awareness. So what I'm trying to get at is, for example, in my own life, I really used to spiral out. I really used to spiral out about, like, basically always feeling like I had to work and produce things in order to be valuable. I got to this place where, like, I had really conditioned myself and also been conditioned by society, my parents, you know, everything, that if I wasn't working, I wasn't valuable, and my value was really tied to what I could produce. And I think this is a very common problem. I don't think I'm alone in this. But when I started to heal from this, I would get really like on a spiral about this is going to take forever. This is going to be such a long process. I'm going to have to journal for years. I'm going to be in therapy for years. This is going to take so long. I'm going to need so much help. And then one day I just stopped saying that to myself. And I was like, you know what? What if all I have to do is just make choices in my life that might be a little uncomfortable in the moment, but what if I just have to make choices that are in alignment with what I would like to believe? And even if it's uncomfortable in the beginning, if I just keep making those choices, it just gets better. I kid you not. Anytime that I notice I'm slipping back into the old self of like overproducing, overworking, doing it all, and that does happen sometimes, the minute I become aware and I say, you know what, we're going to start making choices that go directly in the opposite direction. How can I rest more? How can I open up to softness more? How can I trust that the universe supports me? How can I do more of this? The minute I start to soften and I insist on making choices that are in alignment with softening, my whole reality shifts. All of a sudden, I don't need every therapeutic tool. All of a sudden, I don't need years of therapy and years of doing this, and it's going to be so hard to change this. All of a sudden, everything feels like it's possible. And I feel like you can start to make that shift in any moment in time. Again, I don't want to say that you can just decide, oh, I'm not going to be traumatized anymore, and that's the end of it. It doesn't work like that. But if there are some things in your life that you would like to change, that you feel like you need to heal from, that are in your control, it can be as easy as making a choice. It doesn't have to be this thing that now you have to build your whole identity and story around, I have to heal this. It can literally just be a choice. And you can decide to follow up that choice with another choice. So that's really what I wanted to get to the bottom of here, because I don't hear people talk about that. I hear people talk about self-concept work, which definitely ties into what I'm talking about. But I feel like when we see so much being given to us all the time, especially on social media, of like, healing work and trauma work and this and that, we think all the time that it's going to take this huge rigorous process to ever get help or ever get better. And it doesn't always have to be that. It doesn't always have to be this huge mountain that you have to climb. Sometimes it's just a hill. And so, yeah, that's what I wanted to say on like Healed Girl Summer is I also feel like having a Healed Girl Summer, the same way that having a Hot Girl Summer is, both of these things, you just have to decide. You just have to decide. If you want to have a Healed Girl Summer, you have to start perpetuating that story. That it's Healed Girl Summer and you have healed from that and you're not going to entertain thoughts about it anymore. You're not going to entertain, like, if somebody really broke your heart, let's say, and you want to heal from that, you're no longer going to sit and spiral about what could have been, should have been. You're going to fill your social calendar. You're going to make decisions that go in alignment with not letting yourself do that. And you're also not going to pick up the phone when they call. You're not going to respond to their text messages. You're not going to check on them on social media. You are going to deny that reality. And you're going to decide, it's my Healed Girl Summer. I'm not going to entertain that. The end. And the thing is, even if you slip up and you look them up on Instagram or whatever, in this example, it's more important that your rebound rate is strong. It's more important that you go, you know what? Tomorrow's a new day and tomorrow I'm not going to do that again. It's instead of, oh, I already did it, so I might as well go check on Twitter now. I might as well go stalk their friends' pages. I might as well send them a text. I might as well answer their phone call, you know, whatever. No, you did one thing and tomorrow's a new day and you're not going to continue the practice tomorrow. You just have to decide that it is Healed Girl Summer and you're not doing it. Now, to have a Hot Girl Summer, it's the same thing. Are you a girl? Are you hot? No, not even are you hot, because I feel like some people would just say no outright. You are hot, okay? There's no other reality, period. Chloe Taylor said you're hot. If you're here and you're listening, you're a hot girl, okay? You're hot, the end. Or, you know, you're a hot they. The what do I always say? The girls, the gays, and the theys. Okay. I do feel like most of my content is for the girlies, but I'm not trying to leave out my gays and my theys either. So just know whatever applies for you, you can feel free to put that in here. But the thing is, you literally just have to decide that you are. I had this realization while I was out on a hot girl walk the other day. I was out walking my little beachfront with my little matcha drink with me. And I was like, wow, I am having a hot girl summer. This was so silly. But I was like, wow, like I am wearing a cute little outfit. I'm drinking my cute little drink. I'm listening to my cute little podcast. It's a beautiful day outside. I am having a hot girl summer. There is nothing about what I'm doing right now that doesn't show to me that I am having a hot girl summer. I don't have to be in Italy on the beach drinking a spritzer in order to have a hot girl summer. It can literally just be right here, right now, exactly as I am, showing up exactly how I look in the body that I have. That's it. Are you a girl and are you hot? The answer to the second question is already yes. Obviously identify however, but if you're trying to have a hot girl summer, are you a girl and are you hot? Yes and yes. Like the end, point blank period. However, I also feel like we need to consider what would make you feel like you're having a hot girl summer, because for every single person, it's going to look different. For me, which I'm going to share with you, what are the things that make Chloe Taylor feel like she's having a hot girl summer? Well, I just kind of painted you a picture of that, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that these are my, if I'm going to have a hot girl summer, this is what they look like. And this is what this summer looks like for me. So make your own list. It can be more than 5 things. It can be less than 5 things. Here's my things. Number one, I want to eat nutritionally dense foods. That is important to me because right now when we're in summer, where I live, produce is like cheap as chips and everything is in abundance. Okay. There is corn. Ugh, corn is like my favorite vegetable, by the way. I love corn. There's broccoli, there's salad greens, Like, girl, I have it all, okay? There is a plethora of produce, and summer's the best time to eat like that because all of the earth is just giving, right? It's just giving and giving and giving and giving. So nutritionally dense foods, that is going to be my number one, right? Not sitting and eating top ramen in my bed every night. Even though that's like one of my favorite activities, not sitting and eating cup of noodle every night and actually taking the time to make myself nutrient dense meals. The next thing is going to be mocktails for me. Don't get me wrong. I love a little summer drink. We love a little Aperol spritz. We love a margarita in this house. We love a little drinky. Drinkies are fun. It's a good time. I am not here to tell you to throw out the drinkies. You want to have hot summer drinkies? Please, for the love of all that is holy, have a hot summer drinky. But it's going to be mocktails for me. And the reason why is because to me, when I am living my best self, I sleep really well. And drinking, frankly, I sleep horribly when I drink. And I know that about myself, even though I still drink occasionally. The thing is, one of my best friends talks about this, that when you drink, you're stealing tomorrow's joy. Like, you are taking the happiness and joy that would be in your day tomorrow, and you are having it tonight. You are stealing it for your own night. And for me, it doesn't quite pan out that way. I don't steal joy from tomorrow. I steal joy from my sleep when I drink, every time, without fail. If I've had one cocktail or four, I am not sleeping well. I'm hot in my sleep. I also usually will overeat because when you drink, it can turn off your receptor that basically notifies you that you're full. And this is why it feels like when you drink, you can eat everything under the sun, because you literally won't have the cue that you're full from your body that naturally would normally be there for you. So it's going to be mocktail girl summer for me. And currently, I haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. But when I do, I will be sharing it. I have all the ingredients in my house. I just haven't done it yet. I have this recipe for, like, it looks like a frozen lime mocktail type of dealio. And you actually blend up like whole limes, ginger. I can't remember everything else that goes in there. I know that those are the two main ingredients though, are lime and ginger. And you actually rim a glass with a little bit of lime zest. And I want to say it's salt. So it's like a salty, limey, it's some kind of like gingery limeade that's good for your body, that like, it looks like a cute little mocktail. And like I said, if when I make it, I will post it on my Instagram, I promise. At least on my stories for sure. But it's going to be mocktails for me. I am into the mocktails. And I feel like that to me screams hot girl summer. The next thing for me is going to be going to bed with a book. I am notorious for going to bed with TV. I love the sound of TV when I sleep. I have been that way since I was a child, probably once again because I was neglected as fuck. And TV mimics like people being around when you're sleeping. That's actually something that we have like proven. There was some kind of study that was done about that like TV makes you feel safer because it gives this like illusion that there are people around when you're sleeping. And I love sleeping with the TV on, but it disrupts my sleep. So I find that I sleep a million bajillion quadrillion times better when I sleep while reading, like just go to bed with my Kindle and read a book before I go to sleep. And lately I have been loving, if y'all have Kindle Unlimited, you need to read In the Flow. In the Flow, it's by like Alana Vetti or Alana, I don't remember. It's, her name starts with an A and her last name is a V name, but very, 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 very good book. It's available on Kindle Unlimited. So is her book Girl Code, which I haven't read that one, but I downloaded it because I was like, holy crap, there's another one here that I have access to, and you bet your bottom fucking dollar I'm going to read it. So been loving those. For fiction books, I've been really into A Touch of Darkness. That's just been my series right now. I've been reading A Game of Retribution, which is the sequel to A Game of Fate, which the whole series is about Persephone and Hades, their like relationship, but like with a modern spin. It's really spicy, and that's why I like those books, because I have a slut mind. It's very spicy, and I like that. But The sequel, A Game of Fate and A Game of Retribution, both of them are from Hades' perspective, where the original series, A Touch of Darkness, is from Persephone's perspective. I definitely prefer the Persephone books more, but the Hades ones are still pretty good. Like, it's been worth the read. The third one in the Hades side of things is actually coming out very soon. Like, I want to say within the coming days, it might even already be out, and I just don't know yet, but it's coming. It's either coming or it's already out. And so I love going to bed with a book. That to me says hot girl summer, book with a bed, or even like reading outside during the day, like on a blanket or something in the shade. Obviously, it's going to be hot girl walks for me. Hot girl walks give me hot girl summer energy. I honestly feel like hot girl winter and hot girl fall, or hot witch bitch thawtum, as we like to call it. Hot girl walks are just a year-round thing. Like, genuinely, this summer, I'm manifesting a Peloton treadmill. When it gets too cold outside for my bones to go outside, I am going to manifest the Peloton treadmill, because that is something I just really would like to have for my little hot girl walks. And I feel like the hot girl walk is just, it's the vibe. It's the moment. It always feels good. And we love her. So hot girl walk's always going to be a part of my hot girl summer. And finally, the last thing for me is having a slow morning. I know that seems so basic, probably, and silly, but when I tell you, as a previous people pleaser and as somebody that is unlearning being a high achiever, I feel like when I wake up in the morning, I wake up with high cortisol. Most of us do. Cortisol actually helps wake us up, so a lot of us wake up like that. But I will like start to freak out and be like, oh, I have so much stuff to do in my day. I gotta move. I gotta get this and this and this and this done, and this has to happen. And I honestly won't even always take care of myself first in the morning. Like, I won't eat. I won't do, like, besides brushing my teeth, which I've been really into, I won't do like any personal care. I will just get straight into work. And that is something that I'm working on unlearning. I'm working on reminding myself, like, hey, actually, it's okay. You work for yourself, Chloe. Like, you don't need to be this hard on yourself all the time. It's okay to wake up and get yourself ready for your day slowly. It's okay to actually take the time to cook a nutritious breakfast. It's okay to take time to fix your hair and your makeup if I wear it that day. It's okay to pick out an outfit. It's okay to shower in the morning if that's what I want to do. It's okay to have my breakfast outside and leisurely enjoy that. You know, there's nobody cracking the whip on me, making me do anything. It's all my own self-imposed pressure. And I feel like ultimately I've been really trying to embrace slower mornings and just reminding myself that it's okay to be slower and softer with myself. I don't have to be go, go, go all the time. And honestly, once again, like a lot of things in this episode, trauma response. I grew up in a house where if you slept past 7 a.m., the day was half over, and are you going to die in that bed, were things that were said to me all the time. So it just, like, rest in my house was never really a priority, which is really weird because I feel like my mom rested a lot, but I feel like I kind of got two extremes. I got no rest, overproduce, and I got you rest too much and you're lazy. So I just really have had to retrain myself, and I've been working with myself to learn how to just move a little bit slower. That to me is my perfect recipe for a hot girl summer. Maybe with like the occasional weekend trip thrown in there. I would love to like visit somewhere over a weekend or go to out to like a lake in my area or something. I could see that being part of my hot girl summer, but ultimately I'm going to have like a traveling fall this year. So I'm not prioritizing travel for hot girl summer. I honestly, the idea of going somewhere when it's hot outside sounds horrible to me. I have zero, literally zero desire to travel in the heat. I would rather go somewhere where it's cold in the summer or somewhere where it's nice, which, like, frankly, I live somewhere that's really nice in the summer. So I just have like no desire to go swelter somewhere on vacation. But in any case, that's what I have for y'all for Hot and Healed Girl Summer. Let me know what you're thinking about the episode in the what did you think section. And don't forget, if you haven't done so, please leave me a review. If it's on Apple or Spotify, please review the podcast. It helps us reach more people. Y'all know that my goal this year is to reach 1 million listens. I still believe that it's possible. We are at, I think we're at 3K. We're over 300,000 listens, I believe. Like, our listens are up. So obviously it's pretty far away from 1 million still, but we're only halfway through the year, a little more than halfway. So I believe it can still happen. So be sure to give it a rating if you haven't done so, and share it with somebody that you love if you enjoy this podcast. And thank you so much for tuning in. Please do not forget, when you stand on your own authenticity, you empower everyone around you to do the same. And I will talk to you again next Monday. Bye.